Hey everybody, welcome back to The Lowdown. This is episode number 6 of The Lowdown for January 19th, 2009. Today is Tuesday and I am joined as always with my boy Bobby Rogue. Bobby, welcome back to The Lowdown.
Thank you, Carlos. It's great to be here. And just in case the internet didn't hear who I was, this is Bobby Rogue and I'm your hookup.
I forgot about the one-liners, man.
I like doing them.
I know. I'm looking forward to hear what you have to say at the end. So we'll leave everybody in suspense for that.
Feeds my ego.
Pretty much. So let's, there's a lot of different things going on right now. We're trying to figure out what the hell to talk about. But I just got done watching yesterday's episode of Heroes. And Bobby just got done watching yesterday's episode of Heroes. And all I got to say is, what the hell is up with biting off of Star Wars?
Okay, so you told me to look out for that, and I want to guess, because I really wasn't sure what you were talking about, but one of the first things I thought about was, give me a few guesses just in case I'm way off. What? So was it Siler using, like, the Jedi Force, you know, to move Claire around?
Well, you know what's funny is I didn't even think about this other stuff that you brought up, but okay. So let's go through your guesses first, and because there was one specific thing that I had in mind, and we'll see if we're on the same page about it. But you brought up some good stuff, and we were talking a little bit about it in the pre-show. But yeah, let me hear what you got to say.
All right, so like to the first one, you know, to internet is what I thought. Definitely was Siler, you know, moving Claire around, you know, with like a yoga-ish Jedi styles of you know, objects in motion.
Yep.
He was doing it a lot and just literally, you know, not like the puppet master, more like a Jedi, more like Yoda, more like any Jedi or dark side Jedi tactics from the Star Wars prequel trilogy, I'm going to say.
Okay, I could definitely see that. I didn't think of it that way, but yeah, definitely. I can see a little bit of that.
All right, and then my next one was the Jedi fight scene between, is it Kenze and Hero?
Yep.
It was nice to see Kenze back, by the way. A few episodes ago, we were talking about where that guy was. You told me he was dead. He is dead. I'm glad we got to see him in the midst of Hero's tumor.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a weird sequence, but man, I tell you, the funniest line I think ever in the history of Heroes was, "Objection, he's quoting the beginning of Quantum Leap."
That was good. That was so funny.
But yeah, that was good too. And but I was actually a little bit disappointed at that sword fight because it was choreographed kind of lame. I
mean, yeah, they choreographed it. Yeah.
Yeah, and compared to like previous episodes, and I don't know if they got different choreographers this season or what the deal is. Because even, you know, we were commenting on the a couple weeks ago about the first episode of the new year about how lame the graphics were or the special effects were when Siler, what was it? Somebody had the tattoo thing and it was moving all over his body. Was that Siler or Peter? Can't remember.
I don't remember either.
Yeah,
but
it was kind of lame.
Yeah.
All right, so what else you got?
You know, when I think the scene before Hero's mother, which was looking pretty cute tonight, definitely in the cougar category, I thought that Kenze was about to either chop Hero's hands off or vice versa, or I thought that Hero was going to jump into the white area, which to me started reminding me of Luke Skywalker going down, you know, a shaft into, you know, Cloud City antenna.
Okay.
Somewhere.
Okay. I didn't get that one, but okay. I can see that.
All right. Now I haven't guessed yours. So
not the one. Nope.
All right. So that's what I got. What do you got?
All right. So the one thing that hit me smack in the face, that it was exactly like Star Wars, and I'm going to say two words, Darth Vader, was the fact that Samuel fell to the dark side because of a woman.
Ah, that's pretty nice. That's pretty nice. And you know what? You know what's a trip is that I don't think I'm going to do it anymore, but I wanted to do a rogue gallery where you and I compared, you know, I guess the romanticizing devils of Siler for this episode and Samuel, because that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Or very interesting to see.
You know, so this season they're doing all this stuff with character development and really bringing out some different sides of the characters. And they're bringing out the romantic side of these villains of Samuel and Siler and even HRG, you know, in his whole affair relationship that he has with his old partner. And yep. You're seeing him kind of in a different way that we've really never seen him before, which I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm digging yet or not. But the whole thing of Samuel whining and dining his, what is his lady's, Vanessa, or what was her name? I can't remember her name now.
I like to call her the final Cylon from Battlestar Galactica. Because that's okay. Who she is.
That's funny. Internet.
Yeah, she's the final Cylon from Battlestar Galactica.
So, you know, number one, he kidnapped her. But then all of a sudden, she's like warming up to him and she's like kissing on him. And I'm just like, dude, this dude just kidnapped you and you're really just going to let him punk you out like that? So
I'll tell you this. I loved watching Samuel this episode. It's got to be some of the best psycho in a character I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. But you know what? When they were standing in the middle of the field and he's like, this is all yours, come with me, blah, blah, blah. And then she kind of, you know, rejects him. And you can see his fall happening there. And I'm like,
yep.
Really? This is how he's going to fall? This is how he's going to turn to the dark side, as I like to call it? And I was just like, okay.
That's a trip that you have that you see that you have that vision of it. Because my vision of it when I was watching the episode is that he was already on the dark side and he was just acting like a complete weirdo, you know? Oh, the cottage, you know? Do you remember when I broke the hand on your record player?
Yeah. Oh, he was definitely acting like a weirdo.
I want to pour a strawberry milkshake all over you and lick it all up.
I couldn't believe how it's exactly like, you know, Anakin Skywalker turning into Darth Vader because of Padme, and yeah, he had already been kind of walking the fine line of, you know, is he really evil? Is he not? You know, we all knew that he was bringing all these specials together to, you know, consolidate his power or whatever. But I just couldn't believe that this woman rejecting him or reacting in a way that he didn't expect and didn't want. And all of a sudden it turned into the kind of the scene. Remember the scene from episode 2 of the Attack of the Clones where Anakin is talking to Padme after he killed all the sand people.
Yep, you know, I killed him, and I liked it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, that scene reminded me of the scene that where he was back in the milkshake shop scaring the waitress right before he, you know, did the earthquake, which, oh, I forgot to mention the earthquake stuff I'll mention at the end. But
I killed them all, Padme, even the children.
Yep. And I don't know.
Great analogy.
That's the one thing that just jumped out at me was just like, man, this is exactly like Star Wars, you know? So I don't know. I mean, there's been a couple episodes into the new year. What are you thinking of Heroes so far?
I think that they're not going to last past this season or next season. I think NBC, number one, if you don't know already, is completely a network in chaos. So either they better, you know, spruce it up with some good writing, you know, from season one, that team, or, you know, they better start wrapping up these storylines because Heroes is not as popular as it was as season one. People aren't going to the conventions to see Heroes anymore. You know, when they were touring, I believe merchandise sales are down. Man, you know, I love Heroes because I loved what I saw in season one, and I'm cheering for them to make it. But so far, if these episodes continue the way they do, it's going to be kind of sucky, you know, for us sci-fi fantasy fans, you know, comic fans. Of what's going to go down with the show. There's not too many more shows out there like that or anything in the, you know, in the pipeline that's going to come out like that. So, you know, NBC, I'm sure you're not, but if you are listening, you know, can you please get some writers from season one, or better yet, can you please hire some headhunters and get some writers from Lost over to your team, you know, now that Lost is in its final season.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've got a buddy at work. We talk about Heroes all the time. He's a big comic book guy, and he's like, dude, this is exactly like comic books. It's got a comic book timeline and a comic book feel and all the changes in stories. So, because my biggest complaint is that they're changing stories around randomly, and it just doesn't feel like it's coherent. And he's like, dude, these are comic books, if you know comic books. And, you know, I'm not a big comic book guy. I've read them, and I understand that whole thing. But I think the problem right now is comic book audience is such a small percentage of the overall audience out there that's watching these shows and trying to really be into these shows that I think they're missing the point. I mean, I don't think they're capturing the audience the way they're supposed to be anymore. And me included. And even today I was like, man, I'm not sure I really want to keep watching this. I'm not investing the time into watching this show anymore because it's kind of like, I'm only watching it now because I've watched it every season, every episode since the beginning, and I really was into it. But now it's kind of like, all right, the only reason I'm watching it now is just to see what happens next, and it's I'm not excited about it anymore like I used to be.
You've hit a huge point where you're talking about content, and I agree with you. You know, I think there's a big difference between comic book content, television content, and movie content. Yeah. And if you're trying to give us comic book content during a TV show, you're not going to capture our attention. The ratings are going to fall, and you're going to get canceled.
Yeah, so I guess we'll see what happens next week. I actually was kind of upset because my DVR cut off the very end of the show, so I got to look it up on Hulu to see what happens at the end and see what next week preview shows. But
Yep. Well, how about let's touch upon something that I noticed, which I thought was kind of cool. You know, when it comes to ensemble casts, you know, the cast of the regular cast of Heroes and the recurring characters, you know, are popular in the Heroes world. But one of the things that I did notice is that there was quite a few characters now that have entered, you know, the all-star ensemble cast of Heroes that are all-stars themselves, you know, from previous television shows. Number one being Gretchen. She's from Californication fame, and she put on some great nude scenes, you know, back with David Duchovny. And, you know, now she's Claire's friend, but as I got to give my props up to Siler, he gets my Buddy of the Week award because I think he finally had a huge hand in bringing Claire and Gretchen together. So Gretchen, Californication, and hey, you know, gotta love Mr. Sulu, even though it was a few decades ago. Everybody knows he's from Star Trek. That's yeah. Another all-star cast member. And Charlie, you know, Heroes a lady, even though they've never made out, I don't think. You know, she's from Glee. Glee just won the Golden Globe for best comedy.
Oh, is she on Glee? Huh.
Yeah, she's a major character on Glee. And then again, you know, Samuel's love interest, which I keep trying to catch her name and I just keep missing it. You know, she is probably the biggest character in the entire Battlestar Galactica universe, which she is the final Cylon.
Yeah. They're
good actors.
Yeah, they got their share of actors, and especially because, you know, they're also going through actors, and, you know, the guy that played Nathan Petrelli is not there anymore. And, you know, a lot of the original Heroes or whatever, well, not the original ones, but, you know, they've had Heroes come and go, and, you know, who knows what's going on with Ellie Larder's character and even the kid that played Micah. And there's just a lot of, or what's her name? Dana Ramirez.
Yeah. She was cool.
You haven't seen her in a long time, and I'm not even sure she's ever coming back, but I mean, I think what today's episode proved is that they can always show back up, even if they're dead in the series or not. I mean, you know, look how many dead people were in this episode, you know, because of the way, you know, Hero's brain tumor and where it took him and all that stuff. So I thought they were going to kill him off, actually. This is right around the time that somebody important always dies in the Heroes series. And I really thought that they were going to kill Hero off this episode.
Hey, here's something that I missed. So where was Hero when he passed out? At first, I thought purgatory, but I think I'm way off.
I think he was just in his own head. I think that's really all it was. I think he was just in his own brain.
Okay.
But, I mean, you know, he saw his mom, and supposedly she healed him. And that's interesting because, okay, so this lady healed him, and his brain tumor supposedly is gone now. But how can that happen if he was just in his head? So it's I don't know. That whole, like I said, the whole thing was weird. Even though it was funny and it was interesting to watch, it was just weird. And I guess you can chalk that back up to comic books. But, you know, his mom supposedly really healed him. Unless they're gonna come out the next episode and said that the doctors were able to remove the tumor or something, maybe.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, I don't really know.
I've got something for you about comic books, since, you know, comic book lovers out there that love the detail of art. You know, we got to see a couple of Siler close-ups up, you know, today. Jesus Christ, how thick are those guys' eyebrows, man?
You know, that's funny that somebody, we were talking about Heroes at work today, and somebody came in my office and is like, dude, the guy with the eyebrows, what's his name again? And I knew exactly who they were talking about.
That guy needs like a hedge clipper to cut those things. I think he shampoos with fertilizer.
You know, just a small little geek tidbit. There's a new video game. It's getting ready to be released. It's in beta right now, called Star Trek Online, and Siler does the the voice for like their entry levels, like that, like the first three or four levels. He's the voice kind of guiding you through this game. So it's kind of weird. You're playing this game and you hear Siler's voice in your head.
That's a cool one. That's a cool one. You know, if you're at a party or you want to, you know, you're at a comic book convention and you lay that one out on somebody.
Yeah. I'm sure that's really gives you some cool points.
Exactly.
Hey, geek, how about you go away?
I know. who did this?
Yeah.
That's definitely a good one.
So let's move on to our I guess the main topic of the show, Beyond Heroes, because I don't want to spend any more time on Heroes because I don't think it's worth it.
Okay. But
let's talk about some show formats and how shows are changing and what they're doing and how they're presenting programming and I guess the target audiences that they're trying to hit. And what do you see shows doing nowadays that's maybe a little bit different than what we've seen in the past?
You know, what I'm seeing a lot is I'm seeing shows that were risque, going back to like a PG format, and I'm seeing shows that were maybe at a PG format kind of taking that, you know, I guess European approach, you know, to television is what I'm starting to see. One of the things that I could point out with is, you know, for all you World Wrestling Entertainment fans, you know, for years and years, you know, we saw divas and we got to see thongs and butts and bras and we got to see some risque content, and you don't see that anymore. It's completely family.
Wow, that was really loud.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right. So, yeah, I think WWE is a perfect example where you see that. So if you think back to the 90s, especially the middle 90s to late 90s, when the big Monday Night Wars were going on between WWE and WCW, and I think both organizations were doing whatever they could to get ratings. And of course their target audience are, you know, males between the ages of 15 and 45, and what's going to get them to come and watch the show? Boobies, you know, and
puppies.
Yeah, puppies. My boy the King, puppies. But I think the difference now, this could be changing too, now that TNA is kind of coming up and this Hogan thing and what Hogan's trying to do with TNA, and they, you know, they're kind of trying to rekindle the Monday Night Wars. At least they did a couple weeks ago. I think WWE kind of started going a little bit more PG because they didn't have any competition. I mean, they really don't have any competition right now. TNA's trying to come up, but you know, it's still got a long way to go. So, you know, is that what it is? Do you think the WWE kind of went more PG because of the lack of competition?
I think so. I think maybe they knew that they can maybe tone down their content and save it for the future, you know, for future storylines. Maybe I think that they were a little bit dry with the writers that they had. Vince Russo isn't around anymore. I mean, for God's sake, they hired Freddie Prinze Jr. to be on the creative team for a couple of months, and he didn't last too long. So I think that's definitely what it was, just trying to prolong their content. What was it that I wanted to say? I mean, back in the day, if you went to like a WrestleMania Access show, you know, one of the main attractions was a bust of Stacy Keibler's butt. I guess, you know, we won't be seeing that anymore. With a heavy heart, I say that.
Yeah, but you know, and I think TNA does a little. Well, I don't know. The Knockouts are. They do.
Yeah, they're pretty big. Awesome Kong, and the other chick, I forget her name.
But I think in a way that. I think TNA kind of did a favor for at least women in wrestling, that they're trying to make them more credible, I guess.
They're
is the
fun
word.
To watch. Yeah. I like watching the girls. They're good. You know what's kind of funny too? Then, you know, maybe we're moving off a little bit off subject here, but I'll just touch about it, you know, just for about a minute. Is I used to really enjoy watching, you know, the girls of the WWE, and I thought that Fit Finley did a great job training them, and I thought that Trish Stratus was the greatest thing. And now the girls of the WWE, you know, you can totally tell that, it, you know, a lot of them were probably first hired, you know, for their looks before their athleticism. But man, I got to tell you, WWE has good wrestling now, like with Maryse, she can wrestle. But then you turn on TNA and those girls flat out wrestle. They're students of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the biggest difference with TNA right now, is that they are wrestling like the males wrestle, and they're doing the things that the males are doing, and there's a lot of, I think, more credibility towards how they wrestle. And in fact, one of the big things that I remember when Gail Kim came back to the WWE after leaving TNA, and they really haven't done anything with her. And it's kind of sad because I think she's an awesome wrestler. And she learned a lot when she was in TNA, and coming back now, they really haven't used her in the way they should have, in my opinion. And I think that happens to a lot. You know, that's a constant risk. I think both male and female wrestlers coming from TNA back to the WWE, they take the risk of, they're really not doing much with me. I mean, look at Christian, you know, whatever they're really doing with Christian.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. And you know, and as while we're talking about format, you know, if you're going to move away from, you know, from sexy, then you need to be putting in people like Christian, who's awesome on the mic. You know, I think we talked about this a few days ago. It's a shame that in my opinion, one of the missed microphone artists to have donned, you know, on air 2 weeks ago was Bret the Hitman Hart, who had been absent for 12 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and it's kind of sad when you have stars like Christian, John Morrison, The Miz. I mean, you know, you can love or hate The Miz. The dude can talk. I mean,
he's good.
He's got a good mic presence, right? But who
I like Miz from his Real World days.
Yeah, but look who they're pushing now: Sheamus, Jamie McIntyre, and
they suck.
And you know, I'm all for bringing in new blood and kind of mixing it up a bit. But come on, dude, Sheamus going right to the top to be the champion. You know, and it was more believable when Straight Edge, what's his name? Why did I just forget his name?
Ooh, McIntyre?
No, the other dude, the Money in the Bank guy, got the Pepsi logo tattooed on him.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God, now that you brought up his name, I can't remember his name.
Man.
He's got a great ex-girlfriend in Maria.
You know, but the thing is, I don't know his ex-girlfriend. The thing is, when he cashed in Money in the Bank, and he had already been in the business for a while, and so he kind of, you know, it was cool to see him, you know, getting the championship kind of fast that way, and it was believable and credible to me. But a guy like Sheamus, you know, becoming WWE champion, and a guy like Jamie McIntyre going right to the Intercontinental Championship, which, you know, to me, there's a lot of prestige behind that championship as well. It's just, it's ridiculous. I don't know what they're really trying to do with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I hopefully, you know, if you're not going to have sexy, you got to have comedy. So I hope that the, you know, the comedy content, you know, spruces it up a little for the WWE. Hey, a little bit off subject. You know, TNA this weekend switched to the four-sided ring. What do you think about that?
You know, I heard that Hulk Hogan was doing that, and I didn't know that they actually did it. And I think it's a mistake, to be real honest with you. I think one of the unique things about TNA was that the six-sided square circle, right? And I think that they just did themselves a disservice by going back to the four. And plus, you know, it makes me wonder, how are the wrestlers going to be able to pick up the four-sided ring fairly quickly, because they're used to this doing the six-sided one.
Yeah. You know, I'm a big fan of the four-sided ring, so I was a little bit happy to see it. But then all of a sudden, I started seeing forum posts where, you know, it could just be rumors. But now that maybe the WWE is thinking about going to the six-sided ring, because that since they have better talent, they can find better use for it.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I think TNA made a mistake when they did that. And I had heard that it was coming, that Hogan was pushing for that. And yeah, I think he just screwed them. So,
okay,
but whatever.
Yeah, you know, talking about different formats, you know, I think another format is the reality format, which is just taking off. But a lot of like all-star or celebrity type formats on the reality show, specifically, like, let's say if you're a fan of Survivor, people are tuning in less to the regular format, and they really only want to see it if you have like past participants or if you have like an all-star Survivor. Same thing with Celebrity Apprentice, their ratings tanked, but the minute they started bringing in the D-list or B or C-list celebrities, the ratings started erupting. By the way, if you know, we just talked about WWE. If you're a fan of Goldberg or Maria, they will be on the new season of the Celebrity Apprentice.
Really? Goldberg? Mm-hmm.
Goldberg.
That ought to be interesting.
Oh, they've got who's the governor that just got fired? Or I guess not fired, impeached. Is it something Bialgalovich or something?
Yeah, the dude from Illinois.
Yeah, the court let him, so they're filming. It's kind of funny, the commercial, his tagline is, "I'll do the show. I've been fired before."
Yeah, you know, and I think I think the whole celebrity thing, I think people just want to see what celebrities are like in real life. And it's funny when you see them go off and go crazy and just be retarded. And I think that surprises a lot of people, but because they fail to realize that, well, celebrities are just regular people, just like the rest of all of us, you know?
It's funny that you say that, because I tend to follow, you know, maybe a handful of celebrities on Twitter.
Yeah.
MemoMcAlpin.com or MemoMcAlpin, just backslash Twitter, I guess. MemoMcAlpin. You guys.
Twitter.com/MemoMcAlpin. How about that?
That's the one. And thank you, Carlos.
You're welcome.
And when I follow these guys, they, you know, they do their twit pics and stuff. And it's kind of cool to see them in their normal element where, you know, they're in front of the Golden Gate Bridge or they're in front of their, you know, eating at a restaurant. They just take a simple picture and you get to realize that, you know, they're just normal people.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because I don't really follow any big celebrities on Twitter. Like, mm-hmm. I follow a bunch of big celebrity geeks, you know, like, well, this, I wouldn't say celebrities. I would say big geeks in the geek world, like Felicia Day or Veronica Belmont, or I think Scott Johnson's kind of making his way in the geekdom, or Tom Merritt. And these guys are a lot of either IT geeks or, you know, I think the biggest guy I follow that's probably the most well-known is Alex Albrecht, you know, who does Dignation and does the Totally Rad Show. And but I don't get a kick out of following celebrities too much. Like, every once in a while, I might search for somebody that, you know, kind of piques my interest to see if they're on Twitter or not, and I'll kind of read through their tweets real fast. But I don't follow anybody big.
Yeah, you know, I don't think, you know, when I first started following Twitter, I didn't think that I'd be following anything like that. But I was just kind of interested to see what it was that they tweeted. And the ones that I follow, you know, like I like to follow like Guy Kawasaki. I guess he's more like a, you know, internet celebrity. Yeah. You know, when it comes to, you know, Apple Computer, you know, alltop.com, yeah, or, you know, Garage Technologies. Or I like to follow Maria Canales from WWE. And she's just like, it almost seems that, you know, like she's just normal. She'll just like take a picture, Adrian Bailon, because I just think she's a hot Latin chick. It almost seems that, you know, what they're doing is just like normal everyday life. Maybe they do it to try to portray themselves as being normal. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I had heard just today in the twit universe was I guess Bill Gates on Twitter now.
Oh, really?
And yeah, since I follow a lot of, you know, tech geeks, they were talking about Bill Gates being on Twitter and thought that was kind of interesting.
How about Jobs? Do you think is he on Twitter? Any do you know about him?
Is Steve Jobs on Twitter? I don't know.
I mean, and the reason I ask is because I'd be interested to see, or I would follow Steve Jobs, because especially after that book, for those of you that are not familiar with the book, The No Asshole Rule, which was written with Steve Jobs in mind. So I'd be interested to see what kind of, you know, tweets he put out there.
Yeah, you know, I had never heard if he's on Twitter or not, and I never bothered looking him up. So it'd be interesting to see if he is. I'm sure Apple is, and as a company, and they're always tweeting about the stuff that they're doing. Yep. But so we keep digressing off topic. What do you think about sci-fi being in the mainstream now? I mean, it seems like that's kind of coming up too.
You know, I'm going to tell you a little story about myself. When I was in college, I hated taking public speaking classes, and I said, you know, there's got to be another way. I don't want to take a public speaking class in college. So I ran into an acting school and I kind of went and thought, you know, hey, can you guys teach me how to, you know, speak in public without, you know, I guess being shy or embarrassed. I ended up at a Meisner acting school for 5 years. And one of the things, every time I wanted to do like a sci-fi dialogue, they would tell me, oh, you know, sci-fi is not hot. Sci-fi is one of those impossible scripts that will ever make it, or anybody will ever buy it or distribute it or even film it. And it was kind of true, because I would think back to sci-fi and I thought, okay, Star Wars, Star Trek, you know, maybe Tron, you know, Black Hole. And that was about it. You know, there really wasn't anything going on sci-fi.
Yeah.
And now, Jesus, I mean, sci-fi is everywhere. I mean, Star Trek, which again, February 2nd, everybody, I'm still claiming that they're going to get nominated for Best Picture Academy Award, is out there. Tron is being remade. What else is sci-fi? Well, Battlestar Galactica, Caprica, I believe, starts, oh, actually, this Friday, Caprica on Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
That's sci-fi. V is sci-fi. man, I mean, there's just a lot of sci-fi out there. There's a lot of sci-fi cartoons that, started being created out there. The Clone Wars, that sci-fi.
Would you categorize Avatar as being sci-fi?
I think that, well, I think Avatar is being categorized as another, a new category. I forget what's it called, something touch or something graphic. I forgot what they keep calling it. I'd call it environmentalist sci-fi.
Yeah.
Every time I think of Avatar, I totally think of like an environment, like an environmentalist made the movie, like with the Thank You Green campaign. And I keep thinking about when James Cameron went up to accept his Golden Globe, and he said something to the effects of, it's nice that people, dive into movies, and look at a planet that has environmental life or something to that effect, and we can all share it together, even though that exists on Earth.
Every time I think Avatar, I think of, man, I didn't know they were remaking Dances with Wolves.
Oh man.
I forgot where I heard that somebody compared it to Dances with Wolves, and ever since then I'm just like, it's exactly like Dances with Wolves.
That's good. That's good. I think after we left the theater, you got me pumped up to see a sequel of Avatar. They've got to be making the sequel because you said, well, I can't wait till, the Earth is our armada comes back to bomb the crap out of the planet. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and weren't you saying, were you telling me that they're talking about making a prequel to Avatar? Like
That
the
wasn't me, but I think one of the conversations we did have is that there's so many backstories they can tell,
Yeah.
So I mean, Avatar, man, that can be another double trilogy or a triple trilogy.
Well, on the assumption that Avatar is sci-fi, I think they took a big win in the Golden Globes this week in their best picture, beating out some very stiff competition, including the movie Precious, which I really expected to, from what I, and I've never seen that movie, and I, to be honest, from what, after what I've heard about it, I don't know if I want to see that movie.
Yeah, I don't want to see that movie.
But just the what I've heard of it and the acting in it, especially with both the young girl and Monique, and especially Monique's character, and I'm happy to see that she took Best Supporting Actress.
She can give a good damn good speech as well.
Really, I see. I didn't watch the Golden Globes. I saw the results on like CNN.com or something. But it's interesting that Avatar took the top award at the Golden Globes, and it's going to be, is that a prelude to what happens at the Academy Awards?
I hope not. I want to see Up in the Air personally take it. I think that's probably that should take best movie of the year.
And seeing that, and Avatar beat that one out too.
I don't think Avatar should have won. I think Avatar should win for graphics and, for technology and for all that stuff that Star Wars wins but never wins best movie.
Yeah.
That's what Avatar should win for. For introducing something new to the audience. But just because you introduced something new to the audience doesn't mean you should be winning, Best Picture.
Yeah.
When digital technology, was introduced to theaters, the first movie that filmed in digital, didn't win, an Academy or a Golden Globe for best film. Same thing with IMAX. I forget who was the first IMAX. Could have been Star Wars actually, but or Batman Returns or whoever's filming in IMAX now or 3D. They're not winning. Best film. Well, might be Avatar actually, but I hope not. So, definitely it should be somebody else. I do think so, as we're talking about sci-fi again, I hope the Academy's listening out there. Please, I don't want to be wrong on this one. Chalk one up for Star Trek. Star Trek is just a good movie. They should definitely get a movie nod, and I'm still pulling for it, even though it didn't even get nominated for a Best Movie Golden Globe.
I was gonna say it wasn't. Yeah, did it get it nominated in any of the categories for the
Not
Golden
at all.
Globe?
No actors, no nothing. Even, but the other one was Up, which I did claim, and they won an award for
No.
best animated film. Now we're talking about animation. I don't know. What's your thoughts on, do you consider the Pandorans an animation, or would that just be kind of be a new technology, I guess, huh?
Well, I've, man. Now I get my podcast confused, but they were talking about that in a podcast I was listening about Zoe
It's all down.
Salander.
It's all down, huh?
That she can't get an award because she wasn't actually in a movie. And somebody was talking about her acting in that movie and how it was phenomenal. But she wasn't eligible for any, like, an Academy Award or whatever because she wasn't actually in the movie.
It's all right, Zoe Saldana. I'll nominate you for Maxim Hot 100.
So and then they started talking about how maybe there needs to be a new category made, or maybe the rules need to be rewritten, because you're seeing a lot more movies going this way where it is, you know, and the same thing happened to the guy who played Gollum.
You know, I was just thinking about him. Yeah.
So, you know, the show, man, I wish I could remember which show, 'cause I could give it proper credit when I was listening to, but, the guy who played Gollum, they were talking about that he really deserved an award, but he wasn't eligible for it because he was not in the movie. You know, all he was doing was voice acting that role. And to be honest, I think I remember seeing a making of like Lord of the Rings or something. And I'm pretty sure this guy was like kind of doing it. He was acting it out with the actors.
Yeah, he was in one of those suits. Yeah. I don't know what you call those suits, but, you know, it captures you on camera.
Yep.
So, once you're doing your stuff. And yeah, I totally agree with you. Andy Serkis should have won an Academy Award.
Yeah, and the same deal with Zoe. She, you know, she can't get an award because she was not in the movie and she was only voice acting. And in that case, it'd be interesting to see how they were able to do all that. But you're going to see this now more prominently, and I think it started in the early, you know, late, well, I'm sorry, late 90s, early turn of the century, where, you know, think of movies like Star Wars and the graphics they had, or the special effects they had in there, and now Avatar. And, you know, you're seeing a lot more of these movies that have real actors, live action actors, and along with the special effects.
I really hope they do make it. You know, even if it's, they call it something cheesy at the beginning, like, you know, I don't know, you know, best voiceover actor or something, you know, at least so they can get the recognition, because I believe that those people, you know, should deserve a big payday. I think Andy Serkis paved the way, or, you know, maybe the people that, you know, I can go back as far as and say Jim Henson paved the wave.
Yeah.
You know, the Muppets were awesome characters.
Yeah.
You know, then came Yoda. Then came Yoda. And, you know, then came Andy Serkis, and, you know, and all those cool characters. So, yeah, I agree with you. Hopefully we'll get something, you know, going there. And I guess that rounds off our, you know, topics of, you know, where content and programming is going. I think, you know, sci-fi, you know, the Avatar content, and, you know, the first topic that we talk about, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of that come 2010, 2011.
Yeah. Yeah. And just real quick, before we wrap this up, we want to spend a special thoughts and prayers out to the Haitians and the earthquake that just occurred. And we wanted to highlight a charity that we're personally donating to. Myself and Bobby are part of a fraternity. Our fraternity came together and established a relief fund to donate to the Haitian earthquake, the disaster relief. If you go to SLB Foundation, that's SLBFoundation.com, there will be a link to our relief fund that we set up. All the proceeds are going to go to the American Red Cross, and we'll get everything out there. And we encourage everybody who listens to this show, please take a look at the link, and or, you know, if you don't want to do it to that one, just, you know, get out there, donate. There's a lot of people that are in need out there. The military, a lot of my Air Force brethren are involved with relief operations right now, and we encourage everybody to get out there. If you want to learn more about our show, please visit our blog at lowdownradio.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/lowdownradio. You can follow Bobby on Twitter at twitter.com/MemoMcAlpin, or take a look at what I'm doing on Twitter, twitter.com/CarlosFrevert. Bobby, got any last parting words for all of our audience?
Just want to say, don't forget those people in Haiti. It is a world crisis. You know, be on the lookout for them. Be on the lookout for anybody that needs our help. Just be a better person. Help out.
Yep. All right, everybody. For Bobby, for me, and dedicating this episode to the victims of the Haitian earthquake, we'd like to thank you for listening to The Lowdown, episode number 6, and we will check you out later.